Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 23rd of March. How did it get to be the 23rd of March already? I am going to tell you that we're doing an open line the first hour of our program, and you are so ready to talk that all of our lines are filled right now. But there will be openings, so we ask that you give us suggestions of, you know, shows you'd like to hear from 9 to 11. We do the first hour, as you know, tends to be response to what the big story in the news is. And the second hour, we do a lot of authors, we do cultural programs. We welcome your phone calls this hour. We do this once a month, and I'll give you email addresses for all of us, for Chrissy and Rhonda and me, so that you can send ideas on other days, not just on our open line. The second hour of our program, I got so absorbed in this book last night. I couldn't finish all of it, but it's just wonderfully written, and maybe because it involves one of my heroes, Edward R. Murrow, but it's a great story. It is titled The Citizens of London, The Americans Who Stood with Britain in Its Darkest, Finest Hour. It's from the perspective of three, and they were key American players, Edward R. Murrow, who ran the CBS News Department in Europe, Averill Harriman, who ran the FDR Lend-Lease program in London, and John Gilbert Wynant, who is the least known. He became the ambassador after Joseph Kennedy left England. So it's about their relationship with Churchill and really how they helped to get the United States involved in that war. They, Edward R. Murrow, I believe it was, who said that he really believed that Hitler would be, if England fell, that they'd be in Manhattan next. So it's a great read, and we'll be talking with the author of that. One more announcement. On Sunday of this week, you know, I never think about what I'm going to wear, but I'm trying to decide what to wear. So if you have a suggestion, let me know. I'm going to be narrating. I'm just so honored to do this because you know, and many of you share a great love of Abraham Lincoln. I'll be narrating the Lincoln portrait, Aaron Copland's Lincoln portrait. It's being performed by the Festival Symphony Orchestra. We'll be at the Pabst Theater, the gorgeous Pabst Theater in downtown Milwaukee this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock. So it would be just lovely to meet fellow Lincoln lovers and to hear that grand piece of music. Appalachian Spring will also be performed and a couple selections by Samuel Barber. So it should be just a great way to celebrate a spring day. You don't need to tell me on the air what to wear, but if you want to send me an email, you don't need to buy anything, but you know, should it be black, long black? Should it be, I'd like to dress like Abraham Lincoln, but that would be way too much, don't you think? So, for once in my life, I'll think about what to wear. Here's our phone number. Did I give it to you? 800-486-8655. Chrissy Pease is answering our phones today. Chat with her and we'll get you on the air momentarily. Frank from Madison. Hello, Frank. You are first.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
He's a great man, but you wouldn't be convincing. I have two related suggestions. There's an interesting phenomenon. There's faith-based environmentalism. People who would be otherwise be considered conservative and on the right are often greatly concerned with the environment. And there's an excellent young scientist by the name of Catherine Hayhu at the Texas Tech, and she is invited to evangelical congregations and to Republican conventions to talk on environmental issues and climate change. And she's written a book called A Climate for Change,
okay,
which is directed at evangelicals. So I don't think you can get the Pope. He's come out for low-carbon future. But Catherine Hayhu might be a good guest.
Spell her name, Frank.
H-A-Y-H-O-E.
Okay.
And there's an excellent issue of Scientific American, the coming April one.
Okay.
And it's called Living on a New Earth, and it describes how to get to a low-carbon future and what it would be like. And there, and the lead author for a set of articles is a gentleman called Jonathan Foley.
Okay.
And I think, you know, that would be a good look in, you know. The future doesn't have to be doom and gloom, and there are people of faith who see themselves as the steward of a common creation. Okay. So have a good day, and I hope you and that'll be an excellent concert.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks very much for your call. Maddie is next from Waupaca. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. I saw a program on 60 Minutes last Sunday night where they told an unbelievable story about child slavery in Haiti, that it is legal there. And I wish you would research that program on CBS, 60 Minutes last Sunday night, and have a speaker on about that, and encourage people to write the president and Mrs. Obama and the congressman to try to put an end to that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Maddie. I missed that show. I was watching healthcare debate all day long on Sunday, so I missed that, but that sounds like it would be a good show. We go next to Joy from West Bend. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a suggestion for a series of programs, actually. I've been going to a lot of school board meetings lately. They're talking about the state funding formula causing a problem for schools, and schools all over the state are having issues with not having enough money for quality education, having to cut programs and teachers, and I'm sure schools all over the country are dealing with the same issue with our economy and the condition that it's in. But the other day I went to a talk by a man who I believe is a lobbyer, paid lobbyist for Wisconsin Alliance for Excellent Schools, and he was talking about a proposal for Penny for Kids. It would be 1% increase in sales tax in Wisconsin to kind of plug the holes of not having enough money for schools. But the, you know, he talked also about the legislators in Wisconsin have not really discussed this. There have been programs proposed to restructure the school funding at our state level, and it's just not going anywhere because it seems like such an overwhelming problem. So I'd like to have a series of programs, one about this proposal for Penny for Kids, and one, you know, then a series of what are the proposals for changing the state funding formula, you know, what are the real issues, and then ask our legislators, any legislators that are running for office should be asked about what they are going to do about school funding.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the gentleman's name?
Yeah.
What is it?
It was Tom Beebe, and it's the website is www.excellentschools.org.
Okay.
So you could start with him, and he could suggest some other people who have suggested ways to change the state funding formula. You know, it seems like at this point there isn't a great proposal that we can all agree upon, but if we're not discussing it, we're not getting anywhere.
Good suggestion, Joy. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Joseph is next. Hi, Joseph. Hello, Joseph. Joseph is not there anymore, so we go to David from Milwaukee. Hi, David.
Hello?
Hi, David.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to suggest a show on the working poor,
mm-hmm.
what it's like for them, their lives, the barriers that exist for them. And also, I had one other idea. There's also people I've met being in the poor community. There's a group of people who don't want to work and are able. I also wish we would have a show that would address that.
How are they getting by?
A lot of it is illegal. A lot of it is they impregnate, you know, women and live off of them. And I think this is one of the issues that a lot of people on the right have is a problem with the health care, though I think that might be one of their issues, is supporting people who really don't want to contribute to society. I think we should address that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, David. Mm-hmm. Milton from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I'd like you to have Wisconsin Public Radio's own Jack Mitchell as a guest. Very few people know that Jack Mitchell was a real powerhouse in the early days of National Public Radio. He worked together with Susan Stamberg and the All Things Considered crew when that was a new groundbreaking show that really pioneered a lot in radio journalism. And as a guest with Jack, I'd like you to try and get everybody's favorite, Susan Stamberg.
Okay.
And the specific topic I'd like to hear the two of them talk about is how they work together to break the Karen Silkwood story. That was a big thing for National Public Radio. It's an interesting story. I've actually heard it from Jack himself. And I just think it would be a great show. It has the Wisconsin connection with Jack. It has the NPR connection with Susan Stamberg. And it's just a great story about excellence in journalism.
All right, Milton. Great suggestion. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Bye. Yeah, I haven't talked to Jack in a long time. Susan was on some time ago when she wrote that book about talk. That was quite a few years ago, wasn't it? But I would think both of them would be willing to speak with us, so we'll carry on. Anne from Madison, hello.
Hi. Well, first, Kathleen, CBS had a special on Lincoln and Mary Lincoln, Mary Todd Lincoln, and apparently she really had to go against her family. She was opposed to slavery. I think she came originally from Kentucky or, you know, one of the slave-owning states. So it made her look like a much more sympathetic person than she's been portrayed as. So I think I have no ideas for your wardrobe, though.
Anne, you got to help me out here.
I am not a fashion plate. So.
I'm not either. That's the problem.
But I had two ideas. One is there's an article in Newquatch Quarterly, which you can get all over Madison. It's published in Luck, Wisconsin. It's an anti-nuclear group. And the article is Radioactive Waste Company Targeted African Americans for More Radiation Than Whites. And this was in a nuclear plant in Memphis, Tennessee, and employees were told to put their badges that detected radiation in a drawer and just keep working. It's a horrible story, and I think it would be an interesting thing to discuss. The article is by John LaForge, who is, I think, the director of NukeWatch, and I'm not sure they have a website, but I'm sure you can find out about them on the web.
Okay.
And second, there's one more. There's an article. The Wisconsin Investment Board, 115 employees will share $4.26 million in bonuses for their efforts in 2009. That's an increase over the amount in 2007. The board of directors approved a pot of money. Specific allocations to individual employees are not being released yet, but I don't think people realize that the Wisconsin Investment Board, which is in charge of state pensions, is making big bonanzas from this system.
Okay.
And that was in the State Journal, Wisconsin State Journal of March 19th, Friday.
March 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Anne.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. John from Janesville. Hi.
Hi. I miss a true automotive critique and suggestion program such as Matt Joseph used to present on the radio a few years ago. Something without the forced humor and fluff that is presented presently. People call in for a true inquiry about a product, and all they get is, well, silliness.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that that's the kind of show that we would do, but I can certainly pass that along.
They had that at one time, Matt Joseph.
Right, I remember that some years ago.
A true automotive program.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
We have lines open for you right now. It is our open line for the month of March, and the number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. 8655. Our email address is, in case you can't get to the phone, you can just copy all of us. Mine is dunky@wpr.org. Chrissy's is kryssy Fanning@WPR.org. And Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. So send us messages whenever the brilliant thought strikes you. Ah, this simply must be discussed on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, Lynn Olson will be joining us. She is the author of Citizens of London, The Americans Who Stood with Britain in Its Darkest, Finest Hour. Lynn is a former Moscow correspondent for the Associated Press and White House correspondent for the Baltimore Sun. She's written a number of other books, including The Murrow Boys, and she will be with us. It's a great read and quite a story, so she'll be with us hour number two. Open line this hour. We go next to Sharon from Pulaski. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I would like to see a show with the nuns that wrote a letter to Congress. 59,000 nuns disagreed with the Catholic bishops.
Okay.
And they wrote an open letter, and it's you can see the letter at Network Lobby, but I'm just wondering what kind of flack they're going to get from within the church. I personally really admire these women. I think that nuns do a lot to reform the Catholic Church and to sort of pull it back to God and sort of push it away from, corporatist fascism or something like that. And basically they decided that the abortion issue was secondary and that saving lives and health care was primary, and so they were urging Congress to support the health care bill. But it's been called everything from apostasy to disobedience, and the Antichrist is coming, that sort of thing.
All right, that's a good suggestion. I think we are doing tomorrow, if everything comes through, a look at what's going on with the Catholic Church in terms of cover-up of sexual abuse cases in Europe, particularly Ireland and Germany. So this would probably be next week sometime we would get to this, but it's a good suggestion. I never thought of that. Why don't we have one of the nuns on? It's a very good suggestion.
They're all signed. I think the mother superiors of the various orders and houses signed this letter.
Yes.
And so.
All right. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Julia from Fond du Lac, hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if you would consider doing a show about assisted reproductive technology, things like in vitro fertilization, embryo donation, et cetera, et cetera, perhaps as a parallel to adoption.
Okay.
There's a lot of pros and cons and just new technology in terms of assisted reproductive technology.
Okay.
And then in a related topic, I was wondering if you could maybe consider a show on the pros and cons of women having children later in life.
Okay. All right, Julia.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Jay from Baraboo. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I would like to request a show in, regarding police-perpetrated domestic violence. Women who are married to police officers and are victims of their violence, of domestic violence perpetrated by husbands involved with police work. And I have the woman that would be a good reference for that. Her name is Diane Wettendorf, and she's an advocate and trainer and consultant specializing in this topic, in this subject. She lives outside of Chicago. I have information on how to reach her. I don't know if I should give it, we'd like it over the phone.
Can you send it via email?
Pardon me?
Can you send us an email?
Well, I don't have a computer.
Oh, well, I guess you can't send us an email.
But
then
I could maybe be transferred to a different number or something.
Yeah, our problem is that our lines are all tied up right now. Chrissy is answering phones, so if you could give us a call after the show,
okay. That
would be helpful.
I will do that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye. So, we have talked about domestic abuse. I'm not sure if we want to go that narrowly with the show, but we could certainly look at that issue. Paul from La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning. Yes, a guy named Matt Latimer wrote a book called Speechless. He was a speechwriter for you know, one of those young idealistic conservatives that went to Washington in the early parts of the century. Ended up writing for Donald Rumsfeld for 3 years and for President Bush for the last 2 years of his term. And it's an excellent book. I was afraid it was going to be a kiss and tell like McClellan's book, but mm-hmm. It wasn't. He stays very honest. He is obviously respects the men that he worked for. And the book had a lot of insights, and there was none of this backstabbing that we seem to catch from all, you know, as soon as people leave Washington, they write a book and they stab everybody in the back. Matt doesn't do that. And it was refreshing to read something like this. And I'd like to hear, you know, basically his take on what he did in Washington and also, you know, what's going on right now. I have no idea what he's doing right now, but I'm sure that he's somewhere in Washington working for somebody. But I think he'd be just from his book, I think he'd be the kind of guy that'd be fun to talk to.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you, Paul.
You bet.
Bye. Lisa from Eau Claire, hello.
Hello, good morning. I would love it if you would have a show on the direction that our public education system is going. I know there have been numerous closings throughout the United States, and in Wisconsin here we've had quite a few. So I'm really interested in what the future holds for the public schooling system, especially in Wisconsin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks,
Lisa. I know that education topics are something that you really like to have during these hours, and we hear you on that and are trying to schedule quite a few of them. We go to Gary next from Iron River. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. Say, as a general comment, I'd like to see more true analysis, kind of a true disinterested party saying, here's the real facts. If we just look at healthcare quickly, we have all these arguments, and it tends to be one guy trying to sell something, one position and the other, and they throw arguments back and forth, but there's no ability to understand really what the truth is, and it would be good to have somebody who can do the analysis and say, okay, here's the true issues on cost, or here's the true issues on service.
Mm-hmm. And you don't feel like you've received that?
No, not at all. I mean, if we look, you know, Paul Ryan wrote his letter a while ago about cost, and people stand up and rebut it, but nobody stands up and says, who isn't trying to sell a position, says, here's really the facts.
Right. The problem is that everybody sees facts from a partisan point of view these days, so it's...
Well, I mean, that's particularly the case when the people sort of presenting it, it's obvious what their position is.
Mm-hmm.
The person who presents this needs to be a truly... I mean, you shouldn't be able to tell whether he's a conservative or a liberal.
Right. Okay.
Anyhow, that's my 2 cents worth.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Robert from Alma. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Kathleen. I've right now we have the Israeli-Palestine issue really up front with what happened last week when our vice president was in Israel and Netanyahu is now in Washington. And last night, BBC had an all-night, almost an all-night program on the issue.
Oh, really?
Of a Palestine side. And I have a very good friend who I play bridge with in Lake City, Minnesota, who's involved with an organization called Americans for Middle East Understanding, Inc. Bob is a former Remco employee in Saudi Arabia, but he's also a former journalist.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good speaker. I've suggested this twice, and I know Bob's never got a call yet, but I hope you do because it's so pertinent right now.
Okay.
The number, Bob's number, do you want that? Or
I don't know if you want to give it to us over the air.
How do I do that then?
Do you have access to a computer?
Yes.
Could you send an email to Chrissy, please?
Okay. What's the email number again?
It's Chrissy, K-R-Y-S-S-Y.
K-R-Y-S-S-Y.
Dot.
Okay.
P's, P-E-A-S-E.
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 Okay.
At WPR.org.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, Robert. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. John from Madison. Hi.
Hey. So couple of things.
All right.
First, I think you could get away just generally from some of the public policy and politics side. I mean, everybody has their opinion, and those are pretty well fleshed out. The guy who called about the Matt Joseph show was really right on. I mean, he brought in, you know, design, engineering, metallurgical slants to it. And I'm sure there's any number of at the UW faculty members who love the exposure, who talk about, you know, what's going on in genetics, astrophysics, civil engineering, and to not dumb it down. I mean, let people get a little bit, like, over their head. And so they walk away with, wow, that's fascinating, and wow, I want to learn more about it because it was a little bit over my head.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's great resources out there, and I think just easing back on the public policy and politics side might be a refreshing breath of fresh air. That's just my two cents.
All right. Thanks, John.
You bet.
Jeff is next from Vermont Township. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm good. So this was a follow-up to the education discussion that was suggested a couple callers ago. And I understand Ben Maron's had Alfie Cohn on recently. I didn't actually hear that show, but my kids go to the Winger School in Madison, a progressive ed school. And I think that having that discussion, or that part of the discussion, is really important. And to that end, the other suggestion I have is maybe you have kids run the show one day with some obvious guidance.
Run a show with a certain topic, or decide you just run the show, decide what they're going to talk about? And
one of the great things that Winger does is in the middle school level, the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders have what's called a student-run unit. And I was thinking it would be great to have a student-run Kathleen Dunn show.
I think I kind of like that. I'm not sure middle school would be the age, maybe high school.
Well, I mean, I have a 6th grader, and she... You know, they literally come up with the curriculum for a 6-week period, and, and obviously there's a lot of guidance, but it's
sure.
It's a great program.
Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting. Or maybe we could do a combination of grade levels, too, do middle school and high school.
Absolutely, and I think the high schoolers, obviously, I'm not suggesting they wouldn't do a great job. I think they would, but I wouldn't underestimate your average middle schooler
right.
these days either.
Well, I think this is a wonderful idea. Yeah, I recall so vividly going to Rufus King High School here in Milwaukee right after September 11, and they put together a panel of students, and they knew so much about what was going on in the world and had such informed ideas and heartfelt ideas. It was an extraordinary show, and people all over the state responded. This is quite a group of students, and you're right, they... many of them know these issues pretty well. I like this idea. We'll have to figure out how to do it exactly, but it's a really neat idea. I'm perfectly willing to turn over this show as a former teacher to students who want to take control here for a while. It's a good idea. If you want to help me flush it out, let us know.
Well, I was going to say, thankfully, you have some great producers, too.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Thanks,
thank you, Jeff.
Take care.
Yeah, we do. Rhonda and Chrissy are top-notch. Corliss from Madison. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Corliss.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Kathleen, I'd love to have a program on rhetoric, on ways that politicians deal with it, how to, for individuals to crack it open and understand when it's valid and when it's purely rhetoric, strategies to respond to it, as individuals, how politicians respond to it, how to, and this actually applies to a caller you had just a couple of periods ago. Talking about who to believe and not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having someone talking about rhetoric, how rhetoric is used and abused, and ways to deal with it, crack it open in a way to help other people understand it.
Sure. I like the idea. If we can give you a little homework and you find somebody who would be good at doing just that, that would be helpful to us if you...
I would love to.
That would be great. Yes, it's a very good idea.
Okay.
Thank you, Corliss.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bobby from Stevens Point, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Bobby.
Thanks for entertaining my show idea. I don't know if you've had anybody on recently from Family Farm Defenders or maybe the Wisconsin Farmers Union. But it would be good to have someone come on and talk about the depth and extent of the small dairy crisis in Wisconsin. I mean the small farm dairy crisis. I know as of last fall, people were really in bad shape. And the small dairy farm, you know, is kind of the backbone. If you're going to have any kind of vibrant local food movement, dairy is a critical part of it because so many people get so much of their protein and calorie intake from dairy. So I would suggest, I don't have, because I'm in my truck, I don't have an address, but I would say if you did a Google search on Family Farm Defenders, either John Kinsman, I believe, or John Peck out of Madison would probably be willing to come on and talk about that because people need to know it. At the peak, I think farmers were getting close to $20 a hundred rate. And then after the economy collapsed in 08, it dropped to half of that. And, you know, the cost that farmers incur running those farms has not dropped in half. It stayed the same or risen. So that would be a good topic, I think. And thanks for entertaining it.
Yes, thank you very much for your call, Bobby. That is a good topic. Oh, we got lots of lines open now. Open line for March. Grab one of them. 800-486-8655 is our number. We go to Tom next. Hello, Tom.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Tom.
With the new health care legislation, there was talk before it was passed about these death panels, and is what I'd like to see you address on one of your shows is it's called palliative care.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a suggestion for two people that you could talk to.
Okay.
One would be Dr. Amy James, and the other one would be Helen Wellms. She's an RN clinical specialist.
And where is Dr. James?
She works at Bellin on 4 Medical.
Bellin.
In Green Bay.
Okay.
I can give you a number.
No, we can find that.
Okay.
That would be fine. That's a good idea, Tom.
Okay, yeah, I think people need to be informed about this because there's transitions that people have to make in their lives, and she can talk about listening to people and, you know, exploring what they really want instead of, especially as the population gets older.
Right.
We see a lot of full guns on people doing everything when the people really don't, they get involved in the system and they're getting overtreated when they really got to make some decisions in their life with their families.
And it's a very hard thing to do all around. Yes. For those of us who have been through it, we know how hard it is.
The physicians even have problems with
it. Yes. Yes, they do. It's a good idea, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Jim from Deerfield. Hi.
Hello there. So I was wondering if you could look into the thing about this far-right Christian conservative organization, no name, you know, no specific organizations, but in regards to health care and so many progressive ideas in this country, it seems like a real small group that really influences the Tea Party and that real conservative wing that is just seems to be anti-anything progressive. And I wonder what their agenda really is. They seem to have such an influence, such a voice for you know, how many people they are and really a different agenda for this country. And I was just wondering if you could have some guests on from them or some people to talk about them. But I'm just really interested in that whole what informs their point of view and where they really want to go and how that relates to the whole discussion about everything that we're having.
Right.
You know, even this whole Tea Party organization seems really influenced by that way of thinking.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, it's a good idea to have people from that movement. We did a show about the Tea Party. I can't remember time anymore. It seems like something we did yesterday. It was actually a few months ago, and it was probably a couple months ago. We did a program on the Tea Party, analyzing who the members were, et cetera. But we did not speak with members of the Tea Party. We've heard from them, certainly, on the air, but that would be a good idea to have members of the party on with us. Very good idea. Thanks. Bill is next from Minnesota, Afton, Minnesota. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi. See, Ellen, I would like to know or have a program on how much we've spent on the war in Iraq and Afghanistan in the past, 9 years, including Blackwater and the private organizations.
Okay.
I have a friend that was over there and earned over $150,000 tax-free for 1 year.
Mm. Okay. Well, and it makes me think we just haven't done shows on that part of the world for a while. It's not that we've neglected it. We just had other things to talk about. So,
but I would like to know how much the total cost was.
Okay.
And now also what we're doing, how much we're going to spend on the vets that are needing problems.
Thank you, Bill, very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Jeff from Winneconne. Hi, Jeff.
I'd like to have a show on racism, with the stuff going on right now, with the Republicans up on the balcony cheering on the Tea Party, all the, you know, spitting going on and the racial slurs. Is racism living out there yet? I mean, it was like I was looking in the 1960s. This is really weird.
Okay. Show on racism. All right, Jeff. It's always pertinent. Thank you. Barbara from Oshkosh. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking all our ideas. Every idea is wonderful. Mine is on the deal that we are making with New Zealand, which it's just beginning. I happened to see it on Senator Feingold's site, and I was so shocked because I didn't know what was going on. We're working on some kind of a deal, you know, similar to what we did with Mexico, a trading deal with dairy, and it said on Senator Feingold's side it would hurt Wisconsin farmers by $20 billion, dairy farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to hear more about it. I've never even known what was going on.
Okay. Well, we had that other suggestion from Family Farm Defenders, so maybe we can put the two of these together.
Maybe we could.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to know more about this, you know, and I hope this doesn't happen because it's in New Zealand is a monopoly on dairy in the world, and it would hurt us that much. And I would like to hear more about it.
Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome.
Kay from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I'm reading a book for our social justice book club, and the book is called Coal River, and it's by Michael Schneerson, Schneerson. And it's subtitled, How a Few Brave Americans Took on a Powerful Company and the Federal Government to Save the Land They Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very well written, but it's about one of the people involved is Julia Bonds, and she is the director of Coal River Mountain Watch, and she won a big award a couple of years ago for her activism to help curb mountaintop removal mining of coal in West Virginia, and it happens in Kentucky too.
Mm-hmm.
But it really talks about this grassroots organization of people from Appalachia who are just trying to save their environment, and fighting against the big coal monopoly.
All right, it sounds very good.
Yes, I think you'd like the book.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Open line for the month of March. Our number is 800-486-8655 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, Lynn Olson will join us. Her new book is Citizens of London, The Americans Who Stood With Britain in Its Darkest Hour. It centers on three Americans in London who had an extraordinary impact on making sure that Americans understood the British and vice versa. John Gilbert Wynant, who took over the ambassadorship after Joseph Kennedy left, Edward R. Murrow, and Averill Harriman, who was sent by Roosevelt to be in charge of the Lend-Lease program. She, that is Lynn, decided to write the book about wartime London after she wrote The Murrow Boys. And it's just a very, very good read and a fascinating story. So she will be with us hour number two. This hour, it's an open line for March. 800-486-8655 is our number. Judy from Green Bay is next. Hello, Judy.
Hello. The program that I think would be very interesting would be one given by Sidney Bremer and Jerry Rodish. They're retired professors from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, and they just did a learning and retirement program on their travels to Palestine and Israel with a peacekeeping group. They went as observers, as neutral observers, and what they saw was really, really very interesting. And they could be reached through the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay.
Okay.
And a description, I mean, their program is 4 hours long, so obviously they couldn't do that, but they could describe this peacekeeping organization and its purposes in sending folks into that very troubled area.
Good suggestion. Thank you, Judy.
Pardon?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Mark from Viroqua. Hi, Mark.
Hi, I'm going under an underpass, so I may break up here a little bit. A couple of ideas. I am very, very pro small family farm, but it would be interesting in discussions about that to consider non-cattle-based livestock, because cattle are often hard on the land. They produce methane, etc. So what about alternative forms of livestock and moving away from so heavy cattle-based? And the second idea regarding is bringing up a discussion of industrial hemp. Hemp has so many uses. There's excellent fiber. The seed has protein stock. The oil can be used as an edible oil or can be worked into biodiesel. And there are so many countries in the world that are moving towards increasing industrial hemp production. And I wish the U.S. would put that on the table. So I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for your call. Dorothy from Milwaukee. Hi.
Did you say Dorothy?
I did. Are you Dorothy?
Oh,
yeah, hi.
You were broken up a little bit. I'm sorry. Yeah, my idea for a show, it kind of piggybacks on what one of the previous callers had talked about with in regards to racism. You know, we've heard retrospectives on people who were key figures in the civil rights movement, what they're doing now. I'd like to know what some of the key figures who were standing on the sidelines swearing and shouting expletives and you know, racial slurs, those kind of things, if we could identify where some of those people are now.
Who knows about that? Who knows? I wonder if somebody's...
Well, you know, I'm sure there's some things that are documented, you know, like with the kids going into the high school in Alabama, and then you've had people standing around. I'm sure there would be a way to find out who some of those people were.
And whether or not their lives have changed, if they've changed,
or
et cetera.
Or if their thoughts have changed at all.
Right.
Just a thought.
All right. Well, we could... Probably somebody's written about that, don't you think, Dorothy?
Well, I could maybe do research on it, but it was just
Dorothy, that's what I was looking for.
But it's just my thought or an idea for a show.
All right. No, if you hear of anything, let us know, and we'll look at that, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dorothy. Uh-huh. Bye. George from Milwaukee's next. Hi, George.
Yes, hi. A April this year edition of the magazine The American Prospect has a good article titled What's Possible Now? Basically, looking at different things that Obama can do without Republican support, even though a lot of the bigger things that he might be able to do might be blocked now by Republicans in terms of filibustering in the Senate. There still are a whole bunch of things that he should be able to do. One of them that's really gone under the radar is making appointments during congressional resources. Republicans have used this tactic tremendously in terms of blocking even like mid-level, non-partisan people to get into positions within government agencies to see that the work should be done. Author, a woman by the name of Susie Kim, K-H-I, M as in Mary, M as in Mary. I'm sure you could reach her through American Prospect.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, George. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Eric from DePeer. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for all the thought and everything else that we're allowed to express ourselves here.
Sure.
I wanted to call, in my opinion, and I think it's relevant to what's going on with healthcare these days, is that a lot of times I think people go to see their primary care physician And rather than having a thorough evaluation by that physician, there may be some, you know, some factors that are brought up where the physician takes the first line of sending them on their way with the prescription. And if that, in their, you know, in their judgment, they don't think that's going to help the person, then rather than doing all they can, they'll, you know, make say, well, you go see a specialist or here are some blood tests. And I thought maybe that might be interesting just to see if what direction our medical care has gone with the rise in, you know, the increase in prescriptions and, you know, their overall benefits for our health.
Okay.
So that was my idea.
That's that. Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Goodbye. Paul from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Paul.
It's been a number of months now, but I would still be very interested in the show devoted to your trip to Springfield last October.
Oh.
What you saw there and what your reactions were. Maybe you could get a scholar to join you.
We'll get some of the participants to do that.
Yeah, but
that'd be fun.
I've always been curious how it went.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Well, I'd love to talk about it, too. There's no doubt about that. Thank you. Okay.
All right, you're
all right,
welcome.
Thanks. And we had some wonderful scholars with us. We could revisit that journey. That would be fun. We go to Ray next from Milwaukee. Hello, Ray.
Hi. I want to bring up a sad note. Two or three weeks ago, the two little boys that were murdered with their mother and then the mother's roommate turned out to be part of the murder scheme, and she was also murdered.
Mm-hmm.
We do a show on violence towards children, and I'm just amazed in our community how we just kind of, like, that's just another day at the office, you know, two children murdered, 3 years old in front of their mother, and their mother also had witnessed her mother being murdered.
Right.
When she was just, so that story, we really need to be exploring that and what is going on in our city, because recently we have had some horrible child abuse cases. The one little boy was punched and beaten to death by his father for spilling milk. Do you remember this story?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you could bring that out and let's have more serious topics and not do so much, you know, happy-go-lucky. Since we have so much strife in our community, I don't know if anybody's walked through the inner city of Milwaukee lately, but we need to. There's a cry for help coming from low-income people who are stuck together and are preying on each other. And if we could focus our energy on straightening out our problems here instead of, like, worrying about Iraq and Afghanistan, if it's safe to walk there. How about if it's safe to walk in the city of Milwaukee first? Bring the National Guard home and put them here on the street. And let's watch out for each other's children.
Thank you, Ray, for the call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Al from Milwaukee, hello.
Hello?
Hi, Al.
Yes, I have a show idea. I'd like if you guys could have on Lou Rockwell from the Ludwig von Mises Institute. To discuss the downfalls of our current economic system and the benefits of the Austrian economic system.
The Austrian economic system. I'm not very familiar with it. What is it?
Yeah, the Austrian school is basically was created by a couple of economists, Friedrich A. Hayek.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Nobel Prize winner in economics, and also Ludwig von Mises. And the von Mises Institute was created by Lou Rockwell and Murray Rothbard.
Uh huh. All right.
And,
we'll look into that. Thank you very much for your call. We're getting short on time. Sarah from Black River Falls. Hi.
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 This is Sarah. Sorry. I think that it would be interesting to have a conversation with Wisconsin author David Rhodes.
Okay.
I believe he's from Wanawak, and the book that I recently read of his is called Driftless. But his interesting history is that he published a few novels in the early 70s and then was in an auto accident that left him paralyzed from the chest down. And this is his first publication in over 30 years. He writes about interesting tales of life in rural Wisconsin, and it's a great book. And one of the small vignettes within the story has to do with Wisconsin milk producers and some of the politics and things that can go on within that area. So of all the people that are interested in talking about farming in Wisconsin and some of the issues that might be faced, milk producers, he might even have some interesting input on that topic as well.
All right. Thank you, Sarah, very much for your call. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. We got some superb suggestions this hour. In case you couldn't get through or you didn't want to talk on the phone, we give you these email addresses. Just carbon copy them to mine is dunk@wpr.org. And then our stellar producers, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org. Chrissy needs to get a shorter email. KRYSSY.PEASE@WPR.org. We have a great hour coming up. Please stay tuned. We'll learn so much. It's a fascinating time in history, and the characters are equally as fascinating. If you want to come and see the Lincoln portrait, please get more information. This is Sunday. I'll be narrating this with the Festival Symphony Orchestra. Go to WPR.org/WHAD for more info. News coming up soon.